Well, as I've been saying, things have certainly changed beyond all recognition, really, over the last 4 months. It seems like a lifetime ago when we suddenly got news that our interns, who should have been leaving us in the next week, had to return to their homes within a few days' notice. And it felt like COVID-19 was over in China and then Italy, and it felt like it was a long way from home, and then suddenly it was here. So things have changed, and we're sort of entering into this new normal and trying to get used to this new normal and trying to navigate our way through it. And I don't know how you feel about it. I have to confess that after the first week or two of lockdown, I actually got into a routine and I actually felt quite peaceful. And it's only these last couple of weeks, as we've come out of lockdown, that I've actually started to feel quite anxious and worried. And not so much about concern for health for myself, but just the uncertainty about the future and what the future has in store for us. But in conversations I've had with other people, and particularly with conversations amongst other clergy, there's been this real sense of people saying, we don't want to simply go back to how things were before COVID-19 struck. And there's a real sense amongst many of my colleagues, and I've certainly had this over the last few months, that maybe God is doing something new, and God is giving us a new opportunity to reimagine church. And I think this is really interesting and really exciting. And that's why I have chosen Genesis 12 for our reading tonight, the call of Abraham, because this has been on my mind. Because in that reading, we read about how Abraham is asked by God to leave his home, all that's familiar, all that he has worked for over the years, and to journey to a new land. And if you look at the reading, when Abraham is called to leave Haran, God doesn't tell him where he's taking him. Abraham has to just trust God and trust that God will lead him to where he wants him to be. And I just wonder whether God is doing the same for us as the Church of God in this place and across the country. Could God be calling us to something new, something different? Could God be calling us to leave behind what is safe, what's familiar, into something which is very different? Just think about how Abraham must have felt when he received this call. God said this, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." So he's stepping out into the unknown. He's leaving behind all that was safe, all that was familiar. His people, his country, his friends, his family, all those, the property and wealth he's built up over the years. He's leaving all of that. And at the age of 75, when he could be forgiven for wanting to put his feet up, relax and enjoy life, God is saying, no, I have a new plan for you, and I want you to leave behind everything and go to the place where I am showing you. Now, if you just try and imagine yourself for a moment, if you were Abraham, how might you respond if you had a call like that from God? Now, of course, some of us don't have to imagine too hard what that's like. I'm very conscious of the fact that actually for Nina and her family, this is exactly where they're at, because they're responding to God's call. Now, they do know where they're coming, but that still doesn't mean it's going to be always an easy move. They're leaving behind friends and family, a church community they've been involved in for almost a quarter of a century, to leave all of that behind, to come and move to the other end of the country and to join us here in Carlisle. And having been in that situation myself on more than one occasion, I know what it feels like. I know how deeply unsettling it can be, as well as exciting as well. But it's a big sacrifice. And, you know, I said, please pray for Nina and the family, but please really do make that a priority, because it's a huge thing that they're doing, especially leaving a community, a church that they've been so embedded and so much part of over these years. And of course, there are other people in the world who know what it's like to leave everything behind. The UN recently reported that the world is witnessing the highest levels of displacement on record. 71 million people around the world have been forced from their homes by conflict and persecution at the end of 2018. There are in the world today around 30 million refugees, and this is a shocking statistic for me. Half of those 30 million refugees are under the age of 18. There are also millions of stateless people, people who've been denied a nationality and basic rights to things like education, healthcare, employment, freedom of movement, and so forth. So some people don't have to imagine hard about what's it like to leave everything behind and to journey somewhere unfamiliar. But for Abraham, it wasn't war or conflict that was causing him to move. It was responding to a call from God. And I just want to mention three things fairly briefly that I think we can learn, but maybe a challenge for us as God's church in this place about how Abraham responds to God's call. And the first thing is that we see that Abraham was someone that listened to God. Now, it's not clear how Abraham received this call. We're not told if God spoke to him clearly one day. We're not told if he had a vision or dreams. But clearly, Abraham knew that God was calling him to leave his home. And it's clear that he is someone who cultivated the habit of listening to God's voice and obeying it. And listening to God's voice and being obedient to what he calls us to do has always been important. But I have a real sense that actually, as a church, this is now our number one priority. It should have always been our number one priority, but I really do think that now is really critical that actually we are seeking to find out what is God saying to us as a community that worships here, that worships in Cummersdale. You know, what is God saying to us? And we started that process of listening to God during Lent, and then lockdown came and it sort of has changed everything. So that question about what is God saying to us, I think, is so important. And we need to cultivate that habit of listening to God. Now, I'm one of the people that when God speaks, I want God to make it really clear. If he can write in the sky, brilliant. If a booming voice can come from the sky or an angel could appear to me, wonderful. I would love that. Unfortunately, God's never spoken to me like that. And in fact, God very rarely speaks to people like that. Because God doesn't shout, God whispers. And that was the lesson the prophet Elijah learned in 1 Kings 19, when he finds himself on a mountaintop waiting to hear from God. And as he waited, there was a great wind, and then an earthquake, and then a powerful fire. And yet we're told that God was not in any of those things. And instead, God spoke to him in a still, small voice, in a whisper. Now, there's something maybe quite significant about this, because if I was to start whispering to you, you would have to really lean forward to try and hear what I'm saying. Because if someone whispers, you have to be close to them. You can't hear someone whispering from the other side of the room. You would need to be next to them. Maybe that's why God whispers, not shouts, because he wants us to be close to him, to be near to him, to hear what he's saying. So Abraham is someone that listened to God, and we need to be people that listen to God. And I confess, I'm not good at this. But we do that by cultivating that relationship, that intimacy with God, making space when we pray for God to speak, being open to the divine nudges and whispers that God may say to us. So God speaks in a whisper, not in a shout, and we need to cultivate that listening. Secondly, we see that Abraham was someone who trusted God. He responds to God's call in faithful obedience. Although Abraham was venturing into the unknown, he trusted God enough to know that God would not fail him or let him down. He knew that whatever challenges or obstacles or dangers or threats he was going to face, God would be there for him and would help him overcome them. And if there's to be any healthy relationship, you need to have trust. And we need to have trust in God, that God has a plan for us as individuals. God has a plan for us as a church. And God will see us through. Now, we might face difficult, challenging times in the coming months and years. But God has a plan, and we need to trust him. And we need to be obedient to what God wants to do. As someone said, you know, I'd rather have one God idea than 1,000 good ideas. You know, when Peter got out of the boat and started walking towards Jesus in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of the night, he was fine as long as he kept his eyes focused on Jesus. And it was only when he took his eyes off Jesus that he began to sink. So as Christians and as church, we need to make sure that we're keeping our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus. And if we do that, we will be okay. Even though we might be walking in the middle of the lake at night and it might be blowing a gale, we will be okay if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The great theologian Karl Barth said this: to hold to God is to rely on the fact that God is there for me and to live in this certainty. To hold to God is to rely on the fact that God is there for me and to live in that certainty. And despite Abraham's age, the fact that his wife Sarai, who was older than him, could not have children, Abraham trusted that God would fulfill his promise to make him into a great nation, to bless him with land and descendants, because he knew that what with man is impossible, with God is possible. That's why Paul, in his letter to Romans, writes this: Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised. That's why it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham listened to God, he trusted God, and thirdly and finally, he knew that God had a plan for him. And this is one of the most beautiful promises, I think, in Scripture, because when God calls him, in verse 3, it says that God is going to bless Abraham and his descendants in order that they may be a blessing to the world. And sometimes we forget the fact that the blessing for Abraham is so that he and his descendants may bless the world. And ultimately that was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, who is the descendant of Abraham. God says this: all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And when God calls us and when God blesses us, it's not for our own sake. It's so that God may bless others in turn. So the question that I'm sort of wrestling with at the moment, and I ask you to wrestle with in prayer as well, is what is God calling us to do as church? How does God want to bless the community around us that we have been called to serve? You know, as we receive God's blessings, what is God saying to us to do in the community? And one of the really interesting things about these last 4 months is that we've not been able to meet in buildings like this. We've had to do worship online. And the message of the gospel has gone out, and it's been some really interesting research showing how many people have been tuning into online worship. People who would never think about coming into a building like this, but have been connecting online. A really interesting article headline the other day saying about how many young people, the sort of 20s and 30s, have been praying. And these are the people that, by and large, we do not see in our churches, and yet there's a spiritual hunger. And this is why I think for me, when I said I do not want to go back to where things were before lockdown, is because I don't want us to retreat into our buildings. The church is being forced out of the buildings, out into the world. And that's where we're meant to be. So what is God's plan? What is God calling us to do? How is God blessing us so that we, in turn, may bless others? So 3 lessons there for Abraham. Abraham is someone who listened to God. He's someone who trusted God. And he's someone who knew that God had a plan for his life. So my question for us is, are we going to be people who are prepared to listen to God? Are we people who are going to be willing to trust him and obey him? And are we people who are going to follow God's plan for our lives? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant Abraham. We thank you, Lord, for the way he cultivated that ability of listening. We thank you, Lord, that he trusted and obeyed you. And we thank you, Lord, that you promised to bless him so that you may bless the world. Please help us both in our individual lives, but particularly, Lord, as the people of God here, that we may cultivate that habit of listening to you, to listen to that still small voice, to be prepared, Lord, to leave behind what is safe, what's familiar, what we've worked hard for, in order to journey to what you have in store for us, Lord, knowing that actually, you know, what you have in front of us, Lord, is so much better than what we leave behind. So give us the courage, Lord, to go where you lead. In Jesus' name, amen.